into Job chapter number 13. And that's what we want to preach to you about, is trusting him completely. And young people, excuse me, our graduates, I want you to just pay special attention and take heed to what God is sharing with us in his word this morning, that we need to trust him. And I tell you what, that's the problem in most of our lives. We have quit trusting him. Or we don't trust him as we should. Amen. In Job chapter number 13, if you have found Job 13, we'd ask you to stand to your feet with us, if you would, as we reverence and honor the Lord in what we do. Job says in verse 12 of chapter 13, Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Now listen what he said. Let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Job is a man unique in the Word of God in that his transformation from one place to another, from one station to another, was so dramatic and so horrific that it's hard to contend, it's hard to concede how someone can go through what they did and still maintain the thing that Job maintained. It was his integrity before God. It was his trust and his faith and his belief in God. In verse number 1, or chapter number 1, I might say, as we go back and look, God said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him, and there's none that has just worshiped. There's none that loves me like he does. And God said as we read it, and hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan laid the claim before God that the only reason that Job had served God was because he had been blessed materially in his life. He said, you take away his riches, you take away his material blessings, and Job will curse you. And God allowed the devil to take away the material blessings of God. He was the richest man of all the men of the East, and he lost all his riches in one day. He was blessed with children, and all his children perished in one tragic accident on the same day. And yet Job maintained his integrity. Yet Job was willing to worship God. Yet Job was willing to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And in chapter 2 again, the Bible said there was a day when they appeared before God again, and Satan come, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. God said, have you considered Job, that he loves me not because of the things that I've given him? You moved me to destroy him, and yet he still loves me. You moved me to bring problems against him in his life, and yet he still loves me. You've moved me without cause against him, and yet he still worships me. Have you considered my servant Job? And then Job Job's friends come along. His wife tells Job, says, curse God and die. And Job says, woman, you speak like a foolish one. Why would I curse God and die? Am I only to receive the good at God's hand and not the evil or not the bad things? Am I only to praise God in the good times? Am I only to be God's in the good times and not the bad times? He said, you speak as a foolish one. Many times we get foolish in our lives. Amen. When things are going good, we're on the mountain and we're praising God. But our situation changes and we no longer have a song in our heart. There's no longer a joy in our lips, in our praise, and in the things we say, because adversity has come our way and we've quit worshiping and we've quit praising God. We become as a foolish one, just like Job's wife was. And then here comes his friends, and they sat down before him, and they sat with him a whole week, and they didn't say a thing. They just sat there with him to be there. His body is now stricken with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. There's not a part of his body that's not plagued with boils. In the flesh now, the devil has attacked. In the flesh now, the devil is trying to discourage and trying to tear down. In the flesh now, the devil is trying to do his malignant work in the heart and in the life of Job. Yet he can get nowhere. And now he sends his friends along. And the friends come by and they tell Job, the only reason that you're going through these problems is because you've sinned against God. And yet they spoke as foolish as his wife did. For God said of Job, he was a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed. In other words, he stayed away from evil. And God gave that testimony. And his friends gave false witness and laid false indictment and accusation against him. And Job, instead of being encouraged, was discouraged and had to defend himself, had to defend his integrity, had to defend his stand with God. He said of his friends, miserable comforters, are you all? How we've all had friends like that at times that come by and they don't understand the problems that you're facing. They don't understand the situation that you're going through. Your problems come along and they say, well, they must have sinned and God must be punishing them. God must be bringing problems their way because they've done something wrong. How about our scripture this morning in the adult class in 1 Peter? It says, our trials come and they're like gold, though it perisheth, that is tried in the fire. Praise God. When we come out the other side, we come out better than we were when we went in. How about God doing a work in our life, Brother Joe? How about God working in us? People don't see that sometimes. God, you know, a weak person, I don't get tempered, and they're not going to get worked on as hard as a stronger person. And the stronger we get, the more adversity we're apt to face in our lives. Young people, let me tell you this. Let me just encourage you in this. In this life, just expect the worst to happen. Amen. And you can rejoice in all the good comes your way. Amen. The Bible has not promised you a bed of roses. Amen. The Bible has not promised you wealth and health and bounty beyond comparison anything else. The Bible has promised you in this world and from the lips and the mouth of Jesus himself, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know what? If we go into this world and we expect the world to do what Jesus said the world was going to do, praise God, we begin to see the manifold, the unbounded and unleashed blessings of God upon our life in every aspect of our life. Right, amen. Amen. When we see the world for what it really is, we understand the blessings of God for where they truly come from. Amen. Job has been through a trial. Job has been through a trying. Job has been through what no one wants to go through, but what inevitably it seems like in many ways and in different times we all go through in some sort of another. And Job makes this statement, one of my favorite statements Job's one of my favorite people in the whole Word of God. Because his humanness comes out in the Scripture. All he wants to do is to know why. Don't you want to know why? Amen. All he wants to do is to understand what purpose God has in this. He knows God has a purpose. And he knows God has brought him to it, but he just wants to understand and wants to know. I know I do. I know I struggle with it. But Job makes this statement in verse number 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Graduates, look here. Look here. Joe, look here. Tyler, Rachel, Jessica, Nathan, look here. Listen to this. Listen to this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If he chooses to take my life, I'm still going to trust him. If he chooses to bring me down, I'm still going to trust him. Church, listen to me this morning. Listen to me. We need to learn to trust God irrespective of our situation and our circumstances. Amen. We need to learn to trust God and to realize that this world can't help us and this world can't offer us what the Lord has to give us. Amen. And the Lord can't do for us what the Lord, or the world can't do for us what Jesus can do for us and what the Lord wants to do for us. And we got to quit depending on the world and start trusting in the Lord. We got to quit looking at our circumstances and pitying ourselves and having our pity parties in the midst of our circumstances and start trusting God and start praising Him for all that He's done. We got folks who are struggling in this life and they're looking for answers and the world offers them no answers and they're taking their lives in untold numbers. The greatest rate of suicide I believe we have ever seen in America is taking place today because people don't know what they can trust in and what they can believe in. Young people are finding no hope in this world, and hope is held out to them. And his name is Jesus. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I got to thinking about some of the men of God, some of the people in the Word of God who trusted God against all their circumstances. Do you remember when Moses was on the backside of the desert and God spoke to him out of the burning bush and said, I want you to go back into Egypt and I want you to bring my people out. And Moses said, Lord, I think you better find somebody else. Lord, there's a better match. There's someone better to do it. And Lord, the Lord said, Moses, said, no, you're going to go. Moses went. Moses did what God told him to do. And he did the miracles. He performed the miracles before Pharaoh. He led the people out of Egypt and out of bondage. He took them through the Red Sea. He found a water for them in the desert when they cried out. And he turned to God. He trusted in God. He found a manna for them when they cried for food. And God sent the food. Moses, the man of God, who done everything that God wanted him to do. And God said, Moses, I want you to come up into the mountain. And I'm going to give you the law. And Moses went to the mountain. And God, by the very finger and hand of God, inscribed the law upon the tables of stone. And God said, Moses, you better get back down. That bunch of people that you brought out, whose people were they? They were God's people. Amen. But who was leading them? Moses. That bunch of people that you brought out. Well, who multiplied them the way that they had multiplied that down in Egypt? It was God. It wasn't Moses. That bunch of people that you are directed, that bunch of people that you're in charge of are sinning, and get down unto them and find out what's going on. And Moses and Joshua come down from the mountain, and they found that the people were sinning. They had done made a calf. They were done worshiping the calf. They were done doing ungodly things. They were naked and acting just like the heathens that were around him, worshiping everything they could. And Moses, in anger, he threw the tablets that God had written down and broke them. In his anger, he cried out. And in his anger and his despair, I believe he was at his wit's end. He said, God, after it was all over and after he got all that settled, he said, God, he said, just show me your glory. Here was a man that had worked the miracles of God. Here was a man that had been assigned a monumental task of God, and God had made provision for him in all that he was to do. But when it got to be too much, it gets to be too much. Can I get a witness this morning? Sometimes it gets to be too much. When it began to overwhelm him. Hey, have you been overwhelmed? Amen. It gets overwhelming. Tribulation comes in this world, ye shall have tribulation. Can I get a witness this morning that tribulation comes and trials come away? Moses said, I want to trust in myself any longer. I don't want to trust in the things of this world anymore. He said, Lord, I just want to see your glory. Amen. And you know what he found? Hey, man, I told the Sunday school class this morning, God will give you just as much of his glory as you can stand. Yes. Hey, man, God told Moses that no man can see me and live. He said, listen what he said. Listen what he said, young people. He said, there's a place by me. Hey, man. Hey, man. There's a place by me. Amen. You know, God's got a place close to him for me to get to. God's got a place close to him for you to go to in your time of need and in your time of trial and in your time of trouble. There's a hiding place that you can go to. He said, there's a place here next to me in the cleft of the rock. He said, you'll stand upon the rock. You know who the rock is, don't you? His name's Jesus. Amen. And as long as I'm standing on Jesus, as long as I'm depending on Jesus, as long as I'm depending on him as my Savior, praise God, I have a place close to the Father, and I have a place where he'll hide me from all the adversity that the world throws my way. Whew. I can trust him because he'll not put more on me than I can bear. Amen. I can trust him this morning. Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, because in him I have a hiding place. Amen. I like what the psalmist said over there. I forget what it is. Psalm 50, 46. Psalm 46. The psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Praise God. I'm glad that I can trust him when all else fails. Amen. I'm glad I can trust him when the government lets me down. I'm glad I can trust him when my friends let me down. I'm glad, Tanya, I can even trust him if the doctors let me down. Praise God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why? he's a help. He's a strength. But praise God, the psalmist there, I said he's a refuge. I have a hiding place. Amen. I have someone who can hide me under the covered of his wings. I have someone who takes me in. The psalmist in another place, I said he's a fortress and a high tower. Praise God. I have one that I can trust in the midnight hour when it seems so dark and I'm so afraid of what's going on around me, and he hides me from the cares of life and he keeps me. Amen. I'm glad I have a refuge. I got a hiding place in the rock. But look at what the psalmist said here. He said he's a very present help. I don't have to wait till tomorrow. I don't have to. Man, you ever had to make an appointment with a specialist? You're hurting. You're aching. You know what? I had a doctor. I had to change my doctor. I call up. I have a sinus infection, a sinus headache. And I'm feeling so miserable. I'm sick to my stomach. My head's a throbbing. And I called the doctor and said, man, I'm sick. I'm hurting. I need to get an appointment. And they said, well, we're booked up. You think you can wait till about next Wednesday? No, I'm hurting today. No, I need help today. I know I want some relief today. Well, maybe we can squeeze you in. Praise God. I'm glad when I go to Jesus, he's a very present help. Amen. And I don't have to wait to find the help that I need. Amen. I'm glad that at the name of Jesus, the demons have to flee. Amen. I'm glad this morning that at the name of Jesus, amen, there's encouragement for the child of God. I'm glad that at the name of Jesus, there's hope when the situation seems hopeless. And praise God, I don't have to make an appointment. I don't have to wait to get in. I have access to the throne room. And praise God, all I got to do is speak his name and I find what I need. Amen. A very present help. Amen. I'll take that any day over making an appointment. Amen. I'll take that any day. And I understand the doctors are overwhelmed with all that's going on and everything. But praise God, I'm glad my Jesus never gets overwhelmed. Amen. I'm glad there's not a situation that's too great for him. I'm glad there's not a time when he can't meet the needs. Do you remember David? Down in Ziklag, him and his posse, him and his boys, him and his gang, they had them a place that was given unto them, a city that the Philistines gave unto them down there in Ziklag. Saul was hunting him down like a dog. Everywhere he went, he was pursued. But the king of Gath, Achish, gave him a city where him and his men and their families could dwell in safety and in peace and find some relief from the constant pursuing and the constant persecution that he was facing. And the story over in 1 Samuel tells us that the Philistines were going to war, and David had pledged himself to the king of Gath. And the king of Gath said, you're going to go with me. You're going to go with me. And David, I guess in his mind, was trying to figure out how God was going to work this all out. But God did, because when they got up there, the other kings of the Philistines said, oh, no, this is the one of whom they sang, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his tens of thousands. And you know, don't you remember who it was, Achish, that they were singing about? They were singing about the Philistines, not about the Hebrews. They were singing about the Philistines and not about the Jews. And ain't no way that Jewish boy, that Jewish rebel and his gang of Jewish soldiers are going into battle with us. You send him on back home. And David went home and his men to Ziklag. But guess what they found when they got back home? Their city, their town, had been invaded, had been destroyed, and all their possessions had been hauled off. I believe it was the Amalekites, wasn't it? If my mind serves right. It was the Amalekites that came and they hauled off all their possessions. They hauled off all their children. They hauled off all their wives. And they were left with nothing. Amen. Have you ever got down to the place where you've been left with nothing? I've been to the place where I've had everything, but I was felt like, I just felt in my heart and in my life like I was left with nothing. Sometimes a loved one dies and the Lord takes a loved one home and we feel like we're left with nothing, though we have everything around us. Sometimes our jobs change and we lose our job. And I got a bunch of guys that work with us down at Amtrak now that used to work up at Chrysler. And man, I tell you what, you want to talk about some fellows that aren't afraid to work. They appreciate their job. They lost their job. They lost their employment. And they appreciate the job that they have now. Their circumstances, they had everything. But they thought they had lost it all. David was like that. You trust in the stock market, you trust in finances, and you find out that in a moment you can lose everything. And thought you have everything. Sometimes we look at our families and we think we have everything. And then some tragedy strikes our family. Sometimes it's addictions. Sometimes it's alcoholism. Sometimes it's just infidelity. We thought we had everything. And our circumstances change. And we feel as though we have nothing. Though we have everything around us. That's where David was. They had lost everything. There wasn't nothing left there. They carried it all off. You know that story about the Grinch, how he come in and he stole Christmas and he didn't even leave a little piece of popcorn laying over in the corner or something. I forget what it was. He stole everything. That's just the way it was. There was nothing. When they got there, all they found was the city that was burned. And David's men, his friends, his buddies, his compadres, they spoke of stoning David. And David didn't go crying in a corner somewhere. Oh my, and oh me. David didn't go bury his head in the sand somewhere and said, maybe the whole world will pass on by and forget all about me. David didn't just give up. He didn't quit. He didn't stop doing what he'd done before. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me tell you something this morning. If you'll put your whole trust in him and trust him wholly, they can take everything from you, but you still have Jesus. And we was going to sing that song this morning, but had so many things going on, I didn't want to drag out the service. I didn't know Jesus was all that I needed until he was all that I had. Amen. You realize that's the way some people got to get sometimes. Before they realize they have all they need, I got Jesus. I got Jesus. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Lord told David to pick himself up. The Lord told David that he could recover. The Lord told David that he would have victory. The Lord told David that he could guide him and direct him. Young people, there's going to be times in your life when the world's going to kick the bucket right out from under you and you're going to think the bottom has dropped out and you have nothing. If you got Jesus in your heart, you got all that you need. And don't ever let the world rob you of that. Don't ever let the world take that away from you. When you got Jesus, you got more than enough. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When everybody turns against me, I'll still trust him. When everything has disappeared, when I've lost it all, yet will I trust him. Do you remember when Jesus told his disciples, let us go to the other side, and they was in the boat, and they was heading to the other side of the lake there on the Sea of Galilee, and the storm arose, and the winds began to blow, and the waves began to jump up high, and they began to fill the boat, and the boat was filling up, and they began to worry that they were going to sink, and praise God, they forgot about something that they couldn't sink as long as Jesus was in the boat. I don't care if the boat was full. I heard a preacher say, well, the boat, the way that he reached it, the boat was filled plumb up with water. Well, hallelujah. Why are you worried about a little bit of water if Jesus is in the boat with you? Amen. That boat wasn't going to sink as long as Jesus was there. Because he said, let us go to the other side. And Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. I believe he was just at perfect peace. Because he still knew he was in control. I believe he had perfect harmony in his life. He didn't have to find his center, but because, praise God, he is the center of the universe. Amen. He didn't need to search out anything to find peace. Praise God. He was in the back of the boat asleep because he's the one that brings peace. Amen. And let me tell you this. When the disciples went to the back of the boat and found him asleep in there, the only people in that boat that was in struggle and in turmoil in their lives with them because Jesus was fast asleep. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible says he arose. And he had to look at him like he had to so often. He said, oh, ye little faith. Amen. Can you identify? You're going through struggles, you're going through storms, you're going through trials, and your faith wavers, your faith gets weak. And you know the Lord just looked at you and said, oh, you little faith, you've seen me do it before. You know I can do it again. I've delivered you the last time, can I do it this time? I brought peace the last time, can I bring peace this time? And he rebuked the wind, he rebuked the sea, said, peace be still, and peace come about. There was no place else to go in the midst of the storm. Amen. They were isolated out on the lake. But praise God, when they trusted in the one, as the song says, that the winds and the seas obeyed, they found peace in their life. Several years ago, there was a little Baptist church started in a little building, and Elkton, alongside Route 40. A man of God preached faithfully there for years and years and years. It wasn't a big fancy church. It wasn't anything that anybody would brag about. As a matter of fact, most people would have turned their nose up. Most well-to-do and so individuals wouldn't even darken the doors of that little church. It wasn't much to look at in any way. But there's a bunch of people there. Sister Mary, you remember it, that loved the Lord. There was a man of God there that preached about the love of Christ and preached about how Jesus could take a sinner. One of my favorite songs in the whole world is, How Deep the Father's Love. Daniel Ortega. It says, how deep the Father's love for me. It's a love beyond all measure that he would give his son for me and make a wretch his treasure. You know what I found out one night in that little Baptist church in Route 40, a church that wasn't nothing fancy that no one would go to. A church where a man of God, preached about the love of God, I found out that I could trust him because he loved me so much. He was willing to give his son for a sinful wretch like me and make me a treasure. And I trusted him as my Savior. And you know what I found? He's never left me. He's always been a very present help. He's never stopped caring for me. His compassion and his care for me has always been beyond my wildest dreams. I found that when I just need someone to shield me and someone to hide me, Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song of invitation.